Hallelujah, man. I haven't made a video in a week. This is all I got, man. I was scrolling on my Facebook feed and I saw somebody with like this big cyst or something that they popped and all this water was coming out, this liquid and stuff. I'm like, man, that seems like what the body of Christ is going through, like getting all of the junk out of the body, you know, letting all the goo and the infection from the leaven of the Pharisees and the lies of the enemy get washed out. All it takes is someone to pierce you, and all that stuff will just come right out of you. Yeah, so we need to be sharp in the spirit and cutting. Not all soulishly, but spiritually, you know. The sword of the Lord that can divide soul and spirit. Coming through your mouth and through your everyday actions and words and deeds. Everything we do, we get sharpened by the Lord and we become His arrows, you know. We can become His battle axe. Weapons of war. You know that you are the Lord's weapons of mass destruction to the devil. Hallelujah. Hey man, He's the way. Jesus went about destroying all the works of the devil. You know, He went around destroying darkness with light, with truth, mercy, grace packed together in one. You know, He was full of grace and truth. He was full of the truth which will cut you, and the grace to keep you face to face in the glory. Hallelujah. So you need grace and truth. You just can't have just the truth without the grace, because how else are you supposed to stay in the truth? It's a narrow road, man. Oh God, we ask and we thank you and receive the grace of God today. I thank you, Father, for the grace of God. The grace of God. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your face. We march boldly to the throne room of grace. It's the throne room. We live in that place. Hallelujah. Yeah, God, just download fresh revelation, fresh understanding, fresh impartation from heaven above into the earth below, God, and just let it flow and glow. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Just flood every single person that press play or press play on the audio or the video, that you'd fill them with your spirit. So we're not going to be drunk with wine, but we're going to be filled with the spirit divine. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for fresh vision, fresh perspective, seeing from above into below. Glory, Shama. So that we can see like you see, we can breathe what you breathe, that heavenly breeze. we just want to breathe the Ruach. We want to breathe fresh revelation. We want to breathe the bread of your presence and inhale it, and the fruits of your spirit flooding every part of our being and every square inch of our house, which is your house, God, fill it with juices from the fruit of the tree of life. Hallelujah. Oh, Shama Kire. Shama. Yeah. It's good to be pierced by the sword of the Lord. So much so, you just want the sword to go right through your heart. So that's nothing's left there but the sword of the Lord. Shama. Both the devil and God want to kill you. But only one of them comes with the deal of resurrection power. Hallelujah. We thank you for your resurrection power. Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in you. Now it's up to us whether we'll step out in faith and obey Him to let Him flow that resurrection power through you. Hallelujah. Shata. I noticed that a lot of what religion teaches is is fighting against the spirit. Because the Satan is the father of lies, and he's the father of the religious spirit. He's the religious spirit. He quoted scriptures to Jesus in the wilderness, so it's pretty clear who is the father of the religious spirit. God's not into religion at all. If you read Isaiah chapter 1, he says, "I hate your religious feasts. They weary me." You ever go to a church service, you're like, you're all excited to get there, and when you get there, it's like so boring, man. Oh, I just want to go home. Well, that's usually because there's a religious spirit there just wearying everybody. God is fun, man. Every time I've ever experienced God, I don't want to leave. I used to like go to the street church and like, man, these people, they got stuff to do. They gotta sell their stereos and ghetto blasters on the street, and they do whatever they do. But I remember the glory would show up sometimes, and nobody would leave. Like church is over. Everyone's still sitting in their seats, and they just like, wow, it's peaceful here. Why would I want to go back outside and just leave this peace? But the thing is, that peace is within you. As a believer, if you've received Christ into your heart, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That Prince of Peace lives in you. The Principality of Peace living and dwelling. Shama. Keep coming, Principality of Peace. Keep filling the temples of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Overflow all the banks. Wow, I'm getting really blasted right now. That same Principality of Peace fills the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, I gotta repent a little bit. I gotta admit, I've been playing Zelda. My daughter. My daughter. She's not in school right now, so like, kind of run out of things to do. You go to the park, and then you color in the coloring books, and then you know, you do the little Hooked on Phonics to keep her, you know, going with learning the words and stuff. She's only 6 years old. I'm like, man, this stuff is wearing me out. I'm like, let's play Zelda. So we were playing Zelda, and I got so distracted. Well, I would kind of mix it up. I had the Bible playing, and we were playing Zelda, but you get distracted because you got to read the dialogue so you can figure out the story and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh man, there's not very much glory on that. And I feel like I'm kind of like backslid in that. I got like so distracted. And then, so one of my friends on Facebook put, like, how, you know, when you're at the feet of Jesus and you're just worshiping Jesus, and I can't remember the exact thing she put there, but it's like you're putting all your desire on him, and how long does that last, you know? Where else can we go? And then I just put like 100-fold will stay there 100% of the time. It's true. What other desires can pull you away? The 60-fold will be there, like, you know, most of the time, but they'll get pulled away to other things, doing stuff. And the 30-fold is whenever the church doors open, you know, the synagogue, the structure, they're there for the prayer meetings, the Bible studies, Sunday morning, you know, slow songs, fast songs, prayer meeting, they're there for all, and then, you know, the rest of the week they go home and they're just whatever, they're only like, it's like 30% of their life is focused on God. That's when the church doors are open, and then they go to their job and they do whatever they do, you know. 100% is 100% of your mind, your will, your emotions placed on God. I think this week I've been at like a 30, maybe even a 20. Like I had the Bible playing. I listened to the Bible last night. I had it on my MP3 player. It was playing, and I set it on a timer for 1 hour before I go to bed every night. And it's good just so I can have that word, that logos going through my mind. And then it'll take seed and go into my heart, you know, hopefully as I'm sleeping or something. You know, the Lord will water that. You know, you're just sowing. You're just sowing your heart and your time into the Logos and God will water it and it turns into Rhema later on. Or maybe turn into Rhema right there as you're laying there. Anyways, Shama, yeah, it's distracting. So I just replied something like, I can't even remember what I replied, hallelujah. Oh man, Shama, we don't need coffee, we need the living waters flowing through our being. Oh, coffee's useful, but living water is like eternally more infinitely more powerful and better, and it feels better. It doesn't wear off. Oh, we just get distracted and pulled away from, you know, our master's feet. I want to stay there forever. Have you ever been in the manifest presence of God and then the glory starts, his glory just broods right through your entire being? Why would you want to leave that? It's just keeping your heart and your affections set there and locked there, and you live there. Like, in him we move, we live, we have our being, you know? Yeah, so I got a little bit distracted this week. I haven't made a video because I've been so many things. Like, we're moving. We're moving out of this place, so you're not going to be seeing Tigger and Mickey over there. My wife doesn't want them in the room anymore. She's like, we're not kids. Like, yes, we are. Unless you become like a child, I can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. But I was just messing with her. I know it's like becoming trusting and depending upon and fully obedient to our Father in heaven. Not being childish, but childlike. Hallelujah. You got to be a mature son, I guess, if you want to walk in the higher things. And just, whoa, what was that? How high can we go? How low can we go is how high we can soar. Yeah, just stay at his feet. I just want to stay here for a while. I feel a nice, warm peace of the principality of Jesus Christ flooding through the temple of the Holy Ghost. Here's a quick tip. Wherever you feel the manifest presence of God, stay there and do that. Whatever feels like dead works and it's like religion, stop it right away and just put your focus back on the manifest presence of God and do whatever that, just, that's doing works of righteousness. It's doing spiritual works. Being right before the throne of God in experience. You know, we march boldly to the throne room of grace. You know, that's like going into a spiritual realm and receiving the power of God to be who we're supposed to be on the earth, in heaven though. You know, we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above all these things, so that if we're far above all these things, we can walk above them. We can walk above all the torment, the things that pull us left and right. It's just like an exercising righteousness. You're exercising your spiritual muscles, which is simply keeping your desire locked on God, keeping your focus locked on God, and doing whatever manifests glory, doing whatever manifests the presence of God. Today it's just making a video, I guess, and just repenting before all 10 people, whoever watches these videos. I only make these videos because I feel the priest of God, and I don't know, he wanted me to make them to scatter some random seeds of my relationship with God. No other motives. I don't really care who watches these videos as long as they grow in their relationship with God. I mean, what else? That's what the Word of God is for. It's to transform us into his image, right? If you're releasing the Word of God, it's for the edification purposes of the body of Christ to become more like Christ-like. You know, my words are spirit and they are life. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. So the only reason I make these videos is because I feel the life in the spirit, and I share in that. I suffered tremendously. And I have some keys how to show you not to, you know, well, it's okay. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him, but you don't have to go through all the crap. You don't have to go through all that crap.
I'm just like, this entire week of distractions,
we don't have to be distracted. I mean, it's a lot more peaceful to stay in the peace. It's a lot more peaceful to keep your heart and your affections locked on Him. The Bible says that Jesus set His face like a flint. I mean, He hardened His lock. He hardened His gaze towards the Father. He was not distracted from the like Peter. One of His disciples, His bro, His buddy, you know? Peter, he's just got promoted, and then he's like, says to Jesus, "Not so, you're not going to go to the cross," because he had all these human emotions. Like, human understanding, natural, wasn't spiritual. The Father showed him, like, showed Jesus what he was supposed to do. And then here comes Peter, "Not so, Lord, never, you know, you're not going to go to the cross and suffer and die." Well, it's necessary. It was necessary for Jesus to die so that He can rise again with everybody in Him. You know, and Peter didn't understand that. He only saw the natural things. And that's another distraction, was like, wow, I was going to make a video all about hell and theology and just doctrines and stuff like that. And I realized that was a distraction. Like, just all this theology and, like, just mapping stuff out and... I mean, it's okay to search things out in the scripture, though. Don't get me wrong, but... like, just to try to prove a point where you already know the truth. You've already experienced. You already have the substance of that. And you just live out of your experience with God. That's the tree of life. Tree of life. Life is experience. You can't have a marriage without experience, or else it's going to be a fake marriage. It's going to be false. And so you have to experience, you know, what does Romans say? Wow, I'm just all over the place. I guess I haven't made a video in a while. I'm a little bit excited. You know what? Let's just stop everything. Whew. Holy Spirit, thank You for Your peace. Thank You for Your presence, God. Thank You for Your daily bread, God. God, give us today our daily bread. We forgive everyone who has trespassed against us. If anyone pops in your mind, just forgive them so that you could be set free. Thank You, Father God, for the daily bread of Your manifest presence. Thank You for the daily bread of revelation, God. Thank You for the wine of Your Spirit, God, so that we can grow and be strong and hydrated, you know. Thank You for the rivers of living water, God, flowing through the very core of our heart, our being, our mouth. God, we yield everything back to You. Thank You for taking us from being distracted from the things of this world because we got weary. God, our strength comes from You and You alone. Thank You for strengthening us, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said I'm removing. The landlord keeps raising the rent, and we just decided it's time to move. And we're done. And we're moving to a better place. It's nice. And I heard I was doing the P90X yesterday, and he said change is good. So hallelujah. We go from glory to glory, right? Change is good. Don't be afraid of change. You need to embrace change. The change that brings you from glory to glory, you know, it makes you better. Life gets better because it becomes more in focused, and the death falls off of you because you're focusing on life. You know, in God, there's no shadow of turning. It's just a straight way. There's no shadows that make you turn to the left or turn to the light, turn to the right. So you stay focused on Him. If you set your face like a flint, 100% on God, you will get pulled to and fro. Zelda. It's not a sin. It's a distraction, which can be a sin because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory, right? Well, what did they get? What was sin then? It's a distraction that pulls you out of the glory. So, you don't want anything to distract you from the person of God. Like, I repent today. It's like, I don't care. I don't have a ministry to, like, try to impress anybody. I don't even think I have a ministry. I'm just your brother. I just make videos because I love people and I love God. I love God and I love people. And I love the presence. And he seems to like bless me when I make these videos. Hallelujah. So you too, like whatever, you may not be to make videos. Maybe you are just to pray in tongues for like, you know, 20 minutes a day or something like that. Or maybe it's just to pray for your neighbors around you for like however long. It doesn't matter. There's no time limits. It's a heart thing. God wants our heart more than our time. Like, because once he has our heart, he has our time. You know, we can give all of our time and pray on our knees and just beg God to do stuff that he already said we have. Or we can just love God and realize what we already have and walk in it. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. Step through the substance into a reality of what is already yours. Like, we can stand there and, you know, claim this, blab it, grab it, whatever. How about if faith is the substance of the things you're hoping for? Step through the substance into the thing that you're hoping for. By faith, we march boldly to the throne room of grace, right? We already know what that is. It's the throne room. It's the throne room of His grace. The grace of God. So you're stepping into the throne room to receive His empowerment to overcome all the powers of darkness. To walk above the snake line. To fly through the heavenlies with Him, in Him. Where He's your shield. He's your exceedingly great reward. He's your treasure hidden in earthen vessels. He's everything. Yeah, God, just circumcise our heart, our minds, our flesh, and just give us a new heart. The mind of Christ, the body of Christ. Yeah, glorify your body, God. Remember, no, what is that? Jesus got baptized at the water. And I think Jesus said, glorify your name or something like that. And then he says, like, I have already glorified it and I will glorify it again. Like, Jesus glorified the name of the Father when he walked the earth. By manifesting his natures, like healer, redeemer, El Shaddai, you know, Jesus manifested forth the names of God. He let you read in the old Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. I don't even know how to say all those things. I don't speak Hebrew or Greek or Italian. I don't speak any of that. I speak Chinese and English and tongues of men and angels and a little bit of Spanish. Espanol. But, hallelujah. Shabbat. I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. He's going to glorify it through the body of Christ. He glorified it through Jesus and he's going to glorify it through Jesus' body. The body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, right? Hallelujah. How do you bring glory to God? Let him release the glory through you out into the atmosphere and everything you do, everything you say. I think it was in the Old Testament, it was talking about fasting from your own words. Could you imagine how much glory would manifest into the earth if everybody fasted from their own words and only spoke the words of God? Only spoke what God was saying through their spirit. Not just quoting scriptures, devils can do that. I mean like quoting, not quoting, just releasing the word of God through their spirit. Where there's spirit inside the words, the good spirit, not the devil trying to tempt Jesus to do something for his own, like for the enemy's will, but you do it according to the will of your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah, another thing I was reminded of, I got my Bible here. I don't know, I was going to talk about it earlier. I've made so many videos about it. Look at all the notes on that. There's some, whoa, let there be light. These are just some keys that God gave me years ago, and I need to be reminded of them. You know what? There's so many things in the Bible that are repeated because we're kind of like a little bit stubborn sometimes, and we just like, we'll forget it. So it's good to be reminded of keys. These are some keys to walking with God in the glory and the abiding manifest presence of God. Now, it was kind of weird because God flipped it on me. He used the King James. That's what I used to read all the time back then because my mom read it, and her pastor, whatever, was my pastor at the time, who was discipling me, walked in a lot of prophetic glory, only read the King James Bible. I read all sorts of Bibles. I'm not really that influenced by men, but I mean, if there's spirit on them, if they're coming through the man, that influences me, man. I'm totally influenced by the spirit. I love spiritual substance. Because you can say something that's the truth, but there's no spiritual substance on it, it only makes me more religious. If there's spiritual substance on it, it'll make me more righteous. Increasing and growing in righteousness. Okay, anyways, this is Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. First key to walking with God, first key to walking for anything of the kingdom, is get thee out, the old thee. Because God wants you to step out of yourself so he can step into you and just drive your body. You're either going to be, how do I word this, Lordship? The first key is get thee out. That fallen nature. The Holy Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit puts to death the fallen nature. Romans 8. First thing is get thee out of thy country. Like God's taken us into a heaven. We've been translated. I mean, this is Old Testament, but we've been translated into the kingdom of light. The New Jerusalem. A heavenly city. Where we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Because we're manifesting that light of Christ. And the devil see it. And they gnash on you. And they fight you. And they persecute you. And they slander your name in the mud. That's okay. Let them do whatever they want. We'll become the scum of the earth. It's fine. It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing. It only matters what God is doing. He says that you are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So that you manifest those works of righteousness, which is your Father doing the works through you, it manifests glory. And people will see that and will glorify your Father in heaven. I think Matthew said something about that. And from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. That means your natural family. Out of your father's house, we only have one father. Call no man your father, Jesus said. For one is your father, and he is in heaven. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going around where everyone wants to be your father. When Jesus is like straight up perfect theology, and he's like, call no one your father, for one is your father, which is in heaven. He's my father. And to make matters worse, some people say, this is my spiritual father. Like, that's blasphemy, man. Your spiritual father? All I see is a sack of flesh here, man. My spiritual father, God doesn't have any grandchildren, you know? My spiritual father is in heaven, inside my heart. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God within me. And he's the wraparound presence that protects me. He's my armor. And if you make flesh your spiritual father, you're living in a delusion. That's just your brother, man. What did Jesus say when they came to the door? Your mother, whatever. You know the scripture I'm trying to say. Your mother's at the door, and Jesus is like, who is my mother? Those who hear, like my brother and my sister are the ones who hear me and obey, or kind of something like that, whatever. Anyways, I want to get back to this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation. What does that do to self-promotion? Anyways. And I will
God is speaking, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. When God makes your name great, you're a blessing to all those people who are influenced by you. So it's a really good idea that you be a good influence around everyone who's around you, your enemies. It's a good idea to be an influence of righteousness upon your enemies, so that they will not be your enemy. Like, you'll destroy the enemies that are controlling the puppets. And then those spirits can be free to be your friends and your allies. We're all puppets, man, either to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom that's in darkness. You choose who you serve. So I don't serve anybody. Well, then you're serving darkness, because you're serving yourself. And that self needs to die and rise in Jesus so you can be risen into resurrection life. And serving him is the most pleasurable thing you could ever do. Like, living in the glory, living in the peace, living in the joy of the Lord, living in the substance of heaven. Serving him is just because you love him, you want to do everything he says so you can see him more. You can see more of his attributes, more of the way he, like, he just shows you things, like visions, like the glory that comes when you see a vision and the manifest presence. And then when you see the vision alive and you just obey it, and the glory that comes through you as you obey the vision, it's just like, what else would you want to do? Death? Like, what else is there? I love the glory and the presence and the substance, the anointing, the angels, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, like living waters, the thunders and voices and lightnings, and I like that stuff. Living creatures, you know. Or we could go play Zelda, you know. No condemnation, man. It's just like little things that we go through. And we get washed off, you know, just go back to this one room of grace. You know, even if you've sinned, like you're smoking, like, smoking acid. Getting drunk, you don't smoke acid, I know. Getting drunk on alcohol, smoking whatever, putting needles in your arms, trying to get some earthly pleasure. And you wake up in condemnation. You know what? The greatest pleasure that you could ever have is having God flood life through your entire being, through you. He'll come to you when you invite Christ into your heart, but he just doesn't want to come into your heart, because out of the heart flows the issues of his life. He wants to come through you. You're just like a portal of life. His God just comes through the kingdom of heaven through you out, filling that everywhere you go with life. Everywhere you go, you bring healing, deliverance, mercy, grace, truth, cutting, and so that the healer could bring healing. Cutting the works of darkness off, so that implanting seeds of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I'll make thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And Abraham does have a great name. It's written in heaven. You know, you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life too. But his name was great, Shama. And he was a blessing so that he could be a blessing. The more blessed you are, the more of a blessing you are. You know, the more you walk in peace, the more you can release that. You know, what does that Matthew chapter 8 say about that? Or 5? Blessed are the peacemakers. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or something like that. Man, this is such a good word. Here, let's read them all. They're all good. Just let them go right into your spirit as if Jesus was speaking to us, the body of Christ, personally. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. See, the children of God
have the Prince of Peace living in them, and they can release that peace everywhere they go, everywhere on the earth. Now, whether it's up to those people who receive it or not, that's a different story. You can plow the ground before you enter into something. I remember a lot of times I used to go, I have like the street ministry, I always say that, but, and I would just, before I would go, I would just like, I'd bawl my eyes out for all the souls. I would just like, you know, just scraping my hands on the carpet, just, they have to meet Jesus. Like, I would have like stuff coming out of my nose, bawling. There would be claw marks on my carpet, and I'm smashing my fists on the ground, just pleading with God. I didn't know anything, you know, I just, that's all I knew. I was like, God, they gotta be saved. God, I feel the glory, I feel the anointing, I feel your presence, I hear your voice. They need to hear your voice. They need to feel your glory. They need to, and God would send angels with me to back up whatever I would say. And they would get saved, they would get healed, they would get delivered. I would see the power of God. What I was doing is I was plowing out the atmosphere before I even stepped into that arena. I would just plow through prayers, intercessions, groanings which cannot be uttered. And then when I just show up, it would just get all released, the goodie bag, you know? And that's just a simple key. If you want a breakthrough in something, just plow through. The violent take it by force. You know, just get violent. You know, what was that guy in the Old Testament? He said, shoot the arrows out the window and you'll destroy your enemies or something like that. And then he shot his arrow at the window and whatever. And then he's like, now break the arrows on the ground. I can't remember the full story, but... And then he only like smote the arrows a couple times, like three times or something like that. And then the prophet was like saying to the king, like, you idiot. You should have, well, he didn't say you idiot, but you should have smote 5 or 6 times and you would have defeated, I think it was Midian or something like that, or your enemies. But now you only defeat them so and so times. And what was he saying? Like, you should passion, pound, pound, like all my heart, all my soul, all my spirit, everything, just pound, pound, pound to destroy the enemies of the Lord so that the puppets can be free. You want to cut the strings off and burn up all the strings, all the attachments, the little hooks that hook us in so that the enemy can use us as puppets loose. And you just want, you got, it's like body, soul, and spirit. And then when you get there, you just release the goodie bags. You're in rest. I don't know, that's what I was taught, and it worked. I saw fruit. People did get healed, saved, and delivered. So, anyways, I don't know where I went off on that one. Anyways, I'll bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham departed, and the Lord spoke to him. So listen, obedience. God said, go. Abraham went. Two greatest keys right there. One is to hear God. You need to hear the Lord. My sheep hear me and they know my voice and they follow me. The second one is obedience. I mean, you can try to obey without hearing, but like that's kind of weird because it's a relationship, you know. You got to first hear the Lord and then you obey him and then you get promoted. I mean, Abraham, I used to do this, man. I would have all these visions and all these revelations and all this, like just vision after vision. And I would just like, I wouldn't do anything with it. I just thought like, wow, this is so cool. It's cool being a spirit. I didn't have any wisdom or anything. I didn't know you could apply this stuff to your life. And the more you apply it to your life, the more it outflows through your life so that other people can walk this out too more easily. And Abraham obeyed the Lord. So obedience is key. Get that fallen nature out. Then you can hear the Lord more clearly. And then as you begin to hear the Lord, you step out in faith and obedience. And you will be promoted. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Okay. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and the Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Haran means parched. He left that parched area. You want to go to where the streams of living water flow. That's the kingdom of heaven inside your Eden. You know, where you walk with the cool, where you walk with the Lord in the cool of the day. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and their sustenance of substance, which they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Canaan means that humbles and subdues. A lot of us, we start hearing God, we get all puffed up. We get all prideful. Yeah, man, I pack a wallet with God, man. I can hear God. I'm in touch with the supernatural realm. And you start thinking you're better than everyone else. Well, hello. We're all brothers and sisters. And if you compare yourself with somebody else, those who compare themselves with each other are not wise. The only one you're supposed to compare yourself to is Jesus. Because he's the author and the perfecter of your faith. If you compare yourself with other people, well, they're just on, we're all on the same road. We're all on the same path. We're all walking in his narrow way. He's the leader. You follow him. And if you don't hear him in other people, then just keep walking. Keep walking toward that white throne. Keep walking towards the Father. Keep drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you until you're walking in perfect harmony, perfect sync, where your heart is not yours anymore, it's God's heart. Where your mind is not yours anymore, it's the mind of Christ. Where your hands, it's not your hands anymore. God's using your hands to reach out and touch humanity. Where your steps are not your steps anymore. You're walking in him. You're walking in Christ, and you're walking in you. Where everything is in perfect. How do you know that you're mature? Because every single day, you're walking in perfect harmony with God the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son. You're walking in perfect unity. There's no unbroken fellowship. Anything else is just not. It's just we're all still growing, and you still never fully arrive. Not even Enoch. Enoch's still learning about God in heaven right now. He's still getting revelation that just blows his mind of Christ even wider. You know, he's going from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. So when you think that you've arrived and then you've arrived. Stay there forever. I'm gonna keep on going. You want to arrive? Park off. Go ahead. Help yourself. That person's arrived. Let them park there. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep growing in Christ. And once you're in perfect harmony with God, you just keep walking. Yet I'll show you an even better way. It's love. It's going that perfect circle of love. Whereas you just enter into divine union. And you see, not just in time here, but eternally past and eternally into the future, what God is like. John saw, the one whom Jesus loves, he would say. And look at how far into the future he saw. And Moses walked with God, look how far into the back. He wrote about the beginning of time, you know. All these men walked with God. And they just became just consumed and obsessed with him. So that they were the obsession of their heart was just to get to know him more. Enoch was so obsessed with God that God just took him from the earth. Moses was so obsessed with God, God had to kill him because he would have lived who knows how long from all that glory flooding through his being. How obsessed are you? Look at John. They couldn't even boil him in hot oil. Left him on an island called Patmos to die for, 3 years or something like that? No food, no water. That's called living off of love, man. Moses coming off the mountain just glowing. It's terrifying. Terrifying the people who had religion in them, you know, or or Egypt still in it. Whoa, Shama. Wow, I just got 4444. I just got hit with the door. The glory, hallelujah, Shama. You need to be obsessed with God. We get obsessed with hockey, get obsessed with Zelda video game, we get obsessed with our family. Why not be obsessed with God and the family of God? I want to be obsessed. I want to be so possessed by God that demons fear. Just go into the bathroom and they shriek in the stalls, you know. Because you're so obsessed and possessed by God. Hallelujah, my house is haunted with the Holy Ghost and power. So anyone who comes in there, they're going to get hell scared right out of them. I'll have an encounter with life. Hallelujah. Shama. Canaan means that humbles and subdues. You want to wrestle with God so that he humbles you and then he subdues you. So it's no longer you that lives, but Christ living in you. Hope of glory. It's no longer you controlling the earth suit. It's you yielding to the master operator. Hallelujah. You're yielding to your master. Shabbat. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. Or Sichem, I don't even know how to say that. It means portion. Unto the plain of Moreh, which means stretching. And the Canaanite was then in the land. You need to go to the place of stretching. I may have to stop this video and make another one, because I have a really good testimony about stretching. I'll see if I can get it in 1 minute. I was in my prayer room, pounding my fists on my weight bench. God, where are you? Nothing. He said 333, so I knew that meant to call upon me, and he's gonna show me something. So I'm like, I went into my prayer room, which was my weight room at the time, and I'm pounding my fist. God, where are you? What is it? Please tell me. I'll tell you in part two. I'm gonna pause this video because they got cropped. And this is what God showed me.